Well, this morning I've got an interesting message to share at Easter. And it's not really a traditional Easter message, but I hope that you don't click off halfway through my message, because if you click off halfway through my message, you'll miss the point that I'm going to make. And the point that I'm going to make is pretty much going to be right at the end of a message. So stick with me. If I do get a little bit boring, stand up, have a stretch, and I'll know that I need to quicken up. But my goal is, I'm looking at my clock, it's going 10:45. So my goal is I want to be done in 25 minutes. So if I'm not, okay, you can just all hop up and head out to Second Beach. But my goal is then you really wonder what's going on, because you'll have missed my message, the gist of my whole message. But if you've got your Bibles, could you turn to Philippians 3? And I'm going to talk this morning about a call, an upward call, that we now have because of Jesus and his resurrection. And in Philippians 3, verse 13, it says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." You see, you know, I love Paul. You know, Paul is such a legend in the Bible. If you've ever studied Paul, he's a phenomenal preacher. He's a man of faith. He had a rough start, but he came good. You see, he's trying to sum something up. And you know, he says there is one, really one thing. I love that in this passage, it's even alluding to it by saying that there is a prize at the end of it. The prize must be heaven. The prize must be salvation. He says that there is one thing I do. He's talking about purposing himself. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about purposing ourselves. I want to talk a little bit about focus. Because now that Jesus has been resurrected, he's been raised from the dead, our focus has to change. Our purpose has to change. You know, in Australia in years gone by, there was this thing called the Australian Dream. And the Australian Dream, if you talk to anyone who's a little bit older, my pop would always talk about this when he was alive, the Australian Dream. The goal of life was very much the idea of owning your own house. And it'd be great if in that house you had a wife and maybe some children. And maybe the house has a white picket fence around it. And you have a good job, a job that has longevity to it. Maybe you've got a little dog. You see, in years gone by, the Australian goal that you were to achieve, and if you were to have made it in life. But I want to tell you, friends, that the goal in life is not to have nice stuff. Now, God wants us to have nice stuff, so don't read me the wrong way there. I'm happy with that. But the pursuit of nice stuff is not the goal of a Christian. You see, Wayne Cadiro, he talks about, if you've ever sat under Trev's ministry for a short period of time, this name would have come up. And do you want to know something? Yesterday I was texting Trev, "What's the name of that guy? I knew he was from Hawaii." And I'm searching, Googling, trying to find the name of this bloke. "Oh, do you think I could remember it?" No, I couldn't. But Wayne Cadiro, he talks about all of us being in full-time ministry regardless of occupation. You see, I think the lowest point of any person's life is to show up every single week to work just for a salary, just to gain money. Now, the reason we go to university, the reason we go to schools, the reason we go to work is to bring light into a dark place, to see our family and friends know the love and goodness of God. That's the reason. And this morning, Easter morning, isn't that even more prevalent? Our family and friends to know the love of Jesus, the love of what he did on the cross for them. You see, he's talking about being focused. To be focused in life is really alluding to the fact that we have to be thinking about life. We have to be stopping. We have to occasionally pause. We have to think. We have to reflect. How am I going with my life? What am I doing with my life? How am I spending my time? You see, I love this quote by Albert Einstein. He said, "Thinking is hard work. That is why so few do it." You see, now isn't that true? Because we surround ourselves with busyness. You know, we have so many things that are competing for our attention. We have family commitments. We have sporting commitments. We have personal interests. Life crams things in. But here Paul is saying, no. Now let's pause. Let's think about one thing. Last year at school, because it's a central school, we have high school students as well. And as part of my role, I would sometimes work with different people in the secondary department of the school. And well, it was about November and it was around Remembrance Time. And I was working with some of the secondary people at school. And one of them was researching stuff that had happened in wars gone by. And he said this one-liner that was said by Adolf Hitler. And it really got me thinking at the time. And it was this one-liner that said, "What luck for rulers that men do not think." You know, and I don't like that he said that. But as I was reflecting on these comments, I felt like it was almost like words were coming from the devil himself. What luck for me that the church doesn't think, that the church doesn't purpose themselves. How easily manipulated and distracted they are from the true purpose God has got for them. What luck for rulers that men do not think. You know, people have sometimes said this to me, "Jeremy, you should settle down. You're a little bit too fanatical. Why do you talk about God? Just calm down." Now, my internal dialogue is very different to my external dialogue. But I think, how are we meant to calm down? If we think about this morning, what it's symbolic of, how are we meant to calm down? Winston Churchill says this about a fanatic. He says, "A fanatic is someone who can't change their mind and won't change their subject." And you know what? We as Christians, we need to claim back the thought that we are fanatics. But this needs to be done in a positive way. On our minds, on our lips, are the things of God. You know, to become a great church, we have to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, when I talk about church, I'm not talking about Narendra CRC or Leeton CRC or any church, the brand of the church. I'm actually talking about us as individuals. To become great in God's eyes, we need to share the love of God to people in our world, to our friends, to our family. You know, there's a passage in the Bible, and let's turn there together. It's in Luke 16, and it's an interesting passage, and it talks about a rich man and Lazarus. And you can turn to the chapter before, and it's all these parables are listed. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost son, the parable of the steward, the parable of the great banquet, the parable of being a disciple. And then it comes to this passage, and there's no parable. And it talks about a story of a rich man and Lazarus. You see, a parable was an illustration. It was to help people understand a theme or a point. But now Jesus is talking directly about a situation. And I'm going to read, this morning I won't read the verses out for time's sake, but I'll encourage you to go and spend some time there this week. Reflect on it, read it, and then make sure my theology is okay. You see, it starts off with a rich man who lives in luxury every single day. And there was a poor man who was the beggar. His name was Lazarus. You see, he sat at the gate as a beggar. He laid there begging every day. And the rich man walked past him. You see, unfortunately, both of them passed away. And the rich man sadly found himself in hell. And the poor man, Lazarus, was in heaven. What was amazing is the rich man is here in hell. And he looks up to heaven. And he sees two people. He sees Abraham and Lazarus the beggar. You know, and this morning, yes, I will be honest, I'm going to dabble a little bit into that thing we call hell. Because this morning, Hell is what we've been saved from because of the resurrection of Jesus. We don't have to go there. And he calls out to him. He calls out and he says, send Abraham with water to cool my tongue as I'm in this place of torment. And Abraham remarkably responds. I think that in itself is an incredible thing. And he says to him, nobody can come from here to there or there to here, because the great chasm has been fixed between us. The chasm with which he's talking about is sin. Sin separates us from God. And the rich man then says, well, if no one can come from there to here, send Lazarus to my father's house, because I have five brothers and I don't want anybody to come to this place of torment. And you know what I found interesting about this part of the passage is even in hell, they are preaching. Even in hell, they're calling out. And I was thinking about this. It's a crazy thought. If we could lift the lid on hell and listen in, I feel we would hear people screaming. We would hear people yelling, saying, tell my mom, tell my dad, tell my grandchild. Don't come here. No, not here. Tell. This morning the resurrection gives us focus. The resurrection gives us direction. The resurrection gives us purpose. Don't come here. And Abraham replies, he said, listen, if they don't listen to the prophets, and I paraphrase that, if they don't listen to Pastor Trev, if they don't listen to Ash, they won't even listen if someone is raised from the dead. Now let me pause for a moment because some people probably feel a little awkward. And I'm going to mention the word hell. We're going to dip into there a fraction, just a splash, but we're going to spend most of our time in heaven. So that's a lot better. But it's important to think about these things. It's important to talk about these things. If you think about this story from a theological point of view, it doesn't give reference to the state of the Christianness of either of them. So how does a guy end up in hell? To walk past people every single day, having the resources to help, but refusing to do so. We've got the resources to help. We've got the answer. Jesus has been risen. There's the answer in and of itself to every issue of life. We've got the answer this morning. Isn't that a good thing? We've got the answer. Imagine quickly if you were in hell and you could see perfection. And knowing that you could never, ever, ever, ever get there. You know, forget the flames. That would be really annoying. You know, the Bible describes it as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The grinding of teeth speaks of regret. And this might be another situation that I've only done. The last few times I've preached, I've shared a story or two, and it's always just been me that's had that scenario happen. Well, there was one time, and you might be able to relate to this, and this has happened to me before, and I know it's probably happened to other people if they're honest, but have you ever been in a situation when you're talking about someone, and you're talking about that someone, and you're not really talking about them in a great light, and then that person walks in and hears what you say? Has anyone ever had that happen to them, or is it just me again? Because I've done that. Yeah, you're talking about them, and then you can tell by the person who you're talking to's eyes that, oh no, I need to stop, but I've already dug this, so I need to keep digging. It's like that scenario. Well, this is probably one of those moments where it's like, it would be good if the world just swallowed me up in that moment. You see, well, that's what we call regret. And just multiply that by, say, a lot. And there in this passage, the Bible says that many will come to me on that day that did not. They were prophesying in his name. They would cast out demons in his name, perform miracles in his name. And he'll say, depart from me. I never had relationship with you. You see, I mean, that's pretty awkward scripture in and of itself. But I was sort of thinking about that, not trying to over-analyze it, not trying to over-understand it. But I kind of thought it was pretty simple for me, and I could be wrong. You see, you pray a prayer, you invite God into your life, and that's a great thing. And then the call of God comes onto your life. And then the gifts, then the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And so you operate in the gifts. And so you start doing things. And so you become busier. You become busier and busier. And now you're operating out of gifts and not out of relationship. And then time goes by. Years go by. Until one day you go to heaven and God says, the last 10 years was just all you. Because we're not living out of relationship. We're operating out of something different. You know, like you came here today and you felt the presence of God. You know, you could feel it, you could know it. But let me tell you, that's just not about us. You know, the worship team were here practicing worshiping. The leadership team were praying. The worship team were praying. And they produce a platform of worship for us. And that's why we feel God here. You know, let's talk about heaven for a little bit. Because that's the good part of the story. Now, if in heaven there's angels. Did you know that? In heaven there's angels and there's streets. The streets are gold, which is good. I heard they got rooms, you know, many rooms, which is good. Sometimes I like to go by myself into a room. They got rooms. But let me ask this question and let me stretch my theology just a little bit. But imagine if we could look down into hell. Just imagine that for one moment. I think that we would be the ones weeping and gnashing our teeth also. You say, why? Because I reckon we'd probably see friends. We'd probably see family members, colleagues that we sat beside. You know, and we can make excuses. We can justify reasons. But at the end of the day, we are God's hands and feet. And this morning, that's what's great about it, is he has given us the ability to witness to our friends. You know, we all love our families. Love's not the problem. It's our focus. We're not thinking about it. We're not strategizing. We're not purposing. We're not thinking about it. You know, maybe like what Adolf Hitler said, he had some truth. He said that, what luck for the devil that the church does not think. Paul says this, there's one thing I do. I'm after a prize. You know, and this morning, don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching hell. We preach heaven. We preach grace. We preach forgiveness. We preach God's mercy. But the thing that is pushing me is I cannot think, I cannot have one of my family members, one of my friends, one of my colleagues, not go to heaven. You see, it's not an option. I'm going to purpose myself. We've purposed ourselves. Have you purposed yourself? This is a strange thought, but the church is not here just for you. It's here for your friends. It's here for your colleagues, for your family members. You know, and this is the day the Lord made for them and their miracle. You see, when I was preparing this message, I was struggling with it a bit. Because in church, you don't really talk about hell. I'm talking to my wife saying, I'm going to talk about hell. He's going, "You right? Are you okay?" You know, when I was preparing this message, I was praying, walking around, and I was stirred by this thought that people won't believe even if someone is raised from the dead. You know, and I was thinking about that, thinking about how God can shake the church, how He can shake me out of my complacency. How can He shake me out of my apathy? What will He have to do to shift me? You know, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, if someone was to walk in a wheelchair, in any service, and then they were to walk up and walk out with their wheelchair, pushing it, I was like, surely that would be enough for people to know that you're real. Surely that would be enough. You know, they'd believe then. But then I thought about it a little bit more. If someone had a cancerous tumor on their neck and then it was healed miraculously, surely then they would believe. You know, then it seems funny to even think this thought. But if someone was to be sitting in the front row and then they were to pass away, and then that God gave us the grace by His Holy Spirit, He gave us the strength, and they were prayed for and they were risen from the dead, surely then that would be enough for people to know that He is real. You know, and as I was thinking about these thoughts, I felt the Holy Spirit prompt my heart and remind me that He's raised somebody from the dead. So in this moment, you know, I was thinking about how amazing is Jesus, how awesome is Jesus, how thankful I am for Jesus. You know, by His stripes we are healed. By Him dying on the cross we have salvation. Everything changes because of Jesus. You know, and as I'm spending time there, thinking about this message, I felt the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart this thought. My son, I've raised you from the dead. You tell them. You know, this morning as I reflect on Jesus being raised from the dead, because Jesus has been raised from the dead, guess what? We have also been raised from the dead. The very action of the cross, I'm reminded that, you know, this is not a dress rehearsal. This is our one shot. This is our time. So this morning I want to emphasize this. When it's all done and dusted, when the curtain closes for the final time, which is going to happen for each of us, make sure you're on the right side. Make sure you're on the right side. And secondly, bring as many people as possible with you. In closing, I wonder if the worship team could come up. An interesting message. The message of being focused. You know, this morning, we reflect upon Jesus. We reflect upon His resurrection. And I don't know about you, when I think about where I've come from and what Jesus' resurrection has saved me from, how can I not be focused? How can I not be walking with purpose? And a new purpose. The Bible says, for as long as we breathe, there is grace. You know, and I believe that with all my heart. You see, God is not angry or upset. He's not upset with anybody. He's not trying to push people away. He wants you to come. He wants you to come. He didn't die on the cross so you can't come. He did all the heavy lifting so that you could come. So He's saying, just come. This morning, that's what He's saying, just come. Come to Me. As you are, just come. I'm not really sure the last time you looked in the mirror of your soul. When was the last time you were honest on how you were going? You know, for me, when I was 8 years old, I remember praying and asking Christ to come into my life. And I didn't understand the enormity or the magnitude of that prayer. But when I prayed that prayer, things started to change. And I'm amazed when you're honest with God, how beautiful God is. How open to change your life. How open to change your situation. In Psalm 121, the psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the Lord, to the mountains, because this is where my help comes from. I love that the psalmist says, I lift. I'd love to lift every mankind's eyes to Him, but I can't. So this morning, on Easter morning, would you lift your eyes? Would you lift your eyes to Him? Would you look at Him? Would you reflect on Him? Would you be honest in and of yourself and recognize our need, our dependence, our reliance on Him? I need Jesus every day. I need Jesus. I want to be honest with you. I want to ask one simple question this morning, Easter morning. What is the condition of your soul? Am I in relationship with God? I know when you have that conversation, God begins to talk. May not be a booming voice, may not be an audible voice, but He talks. What's the condition of your soul? Am I in relationship with Jesus? Easter morning, the morning that speaks of relationship with Jesus, the morning that speaks of intimacy with the Father. Are you in relationship with Jesus? I'm not interested in you knowing Jesus, knowing about Jesus. Are you in relationship with Jesus? Have you ever been in a really big room? And you've been there several times. And you know of someone in that room. You're able to say, yep, that's so-and-so. I know that person. Or better still, I know of that person. I know of Jesus. I know about Him. I know what He's done. I know about Him. But that's as much as I do. I know about Him. But this morning, because of what He's done on the cross, He's saying, I don't want you to just know about Me. I want you to have relationship with Me. I want you to have relationship with Me. Relationship. Intimacy. So much deeper than just knowing of. We can look on, but He wants to know you. He wants to walk with you day by day. That's what He went to the cross for. That's what He went to the cross for. For you. But not just for you. He did it for everyone. All of mankind. And that's why we need to purpose ourselves. We need to focus ourselves on what really matters. On what really matters. At the end of the day, I've always had this belief, I suppose you could say. I've always said to Tone, the day I die, tie a rock around my feet and throw me in the river. And she kind of thinks, oh, what? What do you mean by that? Because at the end of the day, everything that comes after doesn't really matter because I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be in heaven. You know, and people say things to me like, I don't ever want to die. And I say to them, oh, I'm not fearful of death. In some ways, I'm not ready to die. I don't want to die. I don't think I'm suicidal or anything like that. But if I was to die, I know where I'm going. So there's no fear for me. There's no worry for me. I've got no anxiety. I've got no worry. I'm okay because I know what Jesus did on the cross for me. Have you got that assurance? Focus your life so that those that are around you, you can drag them with you. You can bring them into relationship with Jesus because it's relationship with Jesus is what gets people to heaven. Nothing else. nothing else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you went to the cross so that we could have a relationship with you. You went to the cross so that we could have a relationship with you. You loved us so much. Yet while we were still sinners, you said, I desire them. I long to be in relationship with them. I want to be known by them. I want to walk with them. I want to commune with them. And you went to the cross. We think of that you freely died. Give us focus. Give us purpose in our outworking day by day so that we can challenge people. So that we can minister your love in a real, tangible, authentic, fresh way. We worship you this morning. We praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.